Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. It's Friday, May 24th. Oh, I hope you were with me last week. I'd suffer pyelonephritis if I heard that you had missed a conversation with Gary Vaynerchuk. We found out from this New York Times best-selling author, sought-after speaker, social media consultant, and wine expert what insights his book, The Thank You Economy, holds for leaders of small and mid-sized nonprofits. One takeaway from last week, treat your employees better than your donors. And Maria's mixed bag, Maria Semple, the prospect finder and our regular prospect research contributor, had a few things for us. A conference reminder, a tweak to Google Alerts, and the report Millennials and Money from Merrill Lynch. This week, Twitter tactics, Melanie Mathos and Chad Norman are with me. They co-authored 101 Social Media Tactics for Nonprofits. Melanie Mathos and Chad Norman and I will talk Twitter. And ASW FAQs. Amy Sample Ward, our social media contributor, membership director for Nonprofit Technology Network, N10, and co-author of Social Change Anytime, Everywhere, had five speaking gigs this week in Washington, D.C. and Burlington, Vermont, and here in New York City. And she's going to share the questions that she was asked throughout the East Coast. My pleasure now to welcome Melanie Mathos first. She is Senior Public Relations Manager at Blackbaud, spreading the word about their products, services, employees, customers, and research. Before joining Blackbaud, she worked as a development consultant and in the publishing industry. On Twitter, she's at M-E-L-M-A-T-H-O, Mel Metho. And Chad Norman, he's Director of Marketing at Spark, a technology services company. In 2007, he founded Go Green Charleston, a technology-focused nonprofit helping Charleston, South Carolina area residents engage around the local sustainability community. He is at Chad Norman on Twitter. Melanie, Chad, welcome.
Thanks, Tony. Excited to speak with you.
Yeah, Tony, thanks. Thanks for having us today. Pumped to be here.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Chad. All right. Pleasure to have both of you. Your book is very tactical, 101 Social Media Tactics, but we need to start more strategically. Is that right, Melanie?
Yes, we often refer to the book as a book about tactics. It has a sneaky strategy undertone, and we'll do a quick little giveaway. The 101st tactic is get a strategy. If you've made it that far and you haven't thought through a strategy, you shouldn't be implementing any tactics because you generally wouldn't have a direction that you're pointing towards.
Right, and we've emphasized that on the show many times, not just to jump into social media, but what are your goals? Why are you thinking about a Facebook page or a Twitter presence or a LinkedIn group or a hashtag on Twitter, which we'll talk about? So you have some advice in the book about a strategy post. Chad, you want to just brief us quickly on what post is about?
Yeah, absolutely. The post method was actually created by Josh Chernoff and Charlene Lee from their book Groundswell, and it's just a really simple, easy way to break through like the scariness of actually creating a strategy. Right, I think a lot of people hear that word and get a little freaked out, and which is precisely why it's in the book, right? Because then people just go straight to tactics. They're like, "Well, I don't really want to write down a strategy. I'm just going to actually go through and implement some things quickly." So
yeah,
the post method is simple. It's just actually think about the people that you're trying to reach. That's the O in post, or the P, and the O is objectives. Like, what are you trying to achieve? Try to put some SMART goals in there, some numbers and things. Your strategy is the S, and that's sort of how things are going to look on the other side. What are the outcomes you're looking for? And then finally, the technology, or the tactics in our case. How are you going to implement, or what are you going to implement to actually get those three things, first three things in order?
We've talked a lot on this show with Amy Sample Ward, who's going to be with me later, about strategy. And in fact, the two full shows on March 15th and April 19th, we talked about her book that she co-authored, Social Change Anytime, Everywhere. So we've had devoted two full hours in the very recent past to that strategic thinking around online engagement. So now I thought this was a very good balance. Let's do some tactical. And I wanted to focus on Twitter. I hope that's you two are amenable to that.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Okay,
it's
that's good.
Our favorite go-to channel.
Oh, really? It's your favorite? Oh, okay. Okay. I'm glad you're amenable. Otherwise, we wouldn't have too much to talk about. If you had said, no, I'd rather not, you know, then we'd be pretty much out of luck. So let's start with something really pretty basic. Creating a Twitter background. Melanie, why is this important for your strategy and how it fits into your general branding, rather than just having some a default Twitter background?
Sure. So we advise nonprofits to really take advantage of all of the different platforms and all the different space allotted to them to personalize and bring their brand through to their communities. So that can be a Twitter background, a Google Plus cover, Facebook cover, whatever it may be. You're given this space, an avatar, a background to tell your story. And so it's very important, I think, because not the visitors to your respective social accounts, that's the first thing you're going to see. They're going to see how your organization is representing itself, and you should really be able to tell very quickly what a nonprofit is trying to convey. So that's why it's very important to put a lot of thought into the detail around all of your social branding.
And you have a very good example in the book, the Highveld Horse Care Unit. Melanie, give a couple of tips, either using that as an example or just, you know, some general tips that you saw that they did.
Sure. So they have a mission that is, it's pretty upsetting. It's all about ending cruelty to animals. So they could have gone that route, but what they've chosen to do is to really provide a really uplifting photo that's going to inspire people, to help them towards their mission of happy horses. So I think it's HCCU is their Twitter handle. I will get back to you if it's not. But what I like about it is they have a clear call to action. They have other ways that you can get in touch with their organization right there. They're using the space wisely. They have one strong image. They're on brand. They're using the right colors. They're using their logo. And just overall, it really reflects their overall web presence as well.
And Chad, how would we get started with creating a Twitter background? We can't go through, you know, all these tactical tips step by step. Although the book is very good, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but how would we get started with creating our own Twitter background?
Right. I think you take a start at like looking at what you want to have in that background, right? Like taking your brand and sort of interpreting that through the lens of Twitter. Like, what does that mean on Twitter? How can my background graphic look? Maybe look at some examples, get some ideas of things you like. And then actually executing a strategy and what you want to have on it, it's pretty simple. You just need a graphics editor, whether that's Photoshop or one of the free ones that you can download, or a graphic designer if you're lucky enough to have one on staff.
Right.
And then pretty much you're just kind of creating something from scratch, right? A good size to use is 1600 by 1200 pixels. That's going to cover most Twitter backgrounds, most computer sizes. Or you can go really big if you'd like. And I tend to recommend for people to actually do a full image rather than use the tiled approach, which where you can create one small image and then tile it. Using a full, big, large image gives you really good control over where the elements are going to sit in the background. So I think the idea is to not overthink it. You can find some good examples that you like and, you know, really put a lot of that good stuff in the upper left and then really make sure the rest of the page really looks great on Twitter, right? Because you've got the chance to not only use your Twitter background, but then customize the link color and some of the elements on your Twitter profile page. And, you know, again, don't spend too much time in it because most people are going to ingest Twitter from a Twitter client or something like that. But again, like Melanie said, this is a great first impression opportunity as a lot of times people are seeing a nonprofit for the first time on social. And so make sure your Twitter profile page looks awesome when they land there.
You mentioned the upper left. You said important stuff in the upper left. What's that about?
Yeah, so the upper left is a really visible part of the Twitter profile page, right? You know you're going to get a little, if you look at the way the Twitter page renders, there's a little space up there, like a few hundred pixels, where you can squeeze some stuff in there, and then kind of moving down the left-hand side. So what we see a lot of people doing is putting a really nice brand image up there, whether that's a photo or their logo or something like that, and then maybe some information down the left side where you can actually put information about your website, maybe a link, a call to action. You can maybe even include some people that are going to be posting on your Twitter account there. So it's just some good opportunity to throw some content up there because we know people's eyes on the web go to the upper left, and there is a little bit of space there on the Twitter profile.
Okay. We know that that's where people look first when they go to a new page?
Absolutely.
Upper left. Okay. Do we know where they go second?
Probably just reading a book. Going to the right then, okay. From there, right? Straight across or diagonally to the right.
Okay. We're going to take a break for a couple of minutes. Go away. Of course, Melanie Mathis and Chad Norman, stay with me. We're going to keep talking about Twitter tactics, and I hope you stay with us too.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you confused about which diet is right for you? Are you tired of being tired? How about improving your energy, strength, and appearance? Hi, I'm Rika Keck, a holistic nutrition and wellness consultant. If you have answered yes to any of my questions, contact me now at nyintegratedhealth.com or at 646-285-8588. Initiate change and transform your life.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. I've got lots of live listener love going out to Singapore. I don't think we've had Singapore represented before. And in China, Chongqing and Beijing, and also Taiwan. So to everybody in Singapore, China, and Taiwan, ni hao. Los Angeles, California, Mira Loma, California, and Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome. Live listener love to all of you and lots of other live listeners as well. Let's talk some more about sort of getting started on Twitter, Melanie and Chad. One of your recommendations is to add a Twitter follow button. Melanie, how is this helpful? Or what is it?
Sure. So a lot of the tactics in our first chapter, which is the setup chapter, are just focused on things that you can do to optimize all your channels and to really make it easy for your community to engage with you. So Twitter has provided these lovely buttons. There's about four different kinds that you can actually put on your site or on your blog, and they have different focus areas. So you can have a button that allows people to easily share a link, like I'm sure people are super familiar with just in blog platforms, but you can also use this for other valuable pieces of content. So think resources, not brochures. I doubt anyone's going to get so inspired they want to just share your brochure on Twitter. But something that is going to be exciting, maybe research or a cool article. And then the follow button is probably the most used button behind that. And it's just a button that you can place on your contact page in a footer or sidebar on your site. Donation confirmation form is a good place. That allows people just to click right on your website and instantly follow you without having to go to Twitter and do it there. A hashtag is another one that's really good that you can pre-populate which hashtag the tweet will mention. So it's good for a campaign if you're asking people to add their voice to conversation, et cetera. And then the mention one is an awesome one for asking questions and getting support. So perhaps you have an online fundraising support person who you could add their handle right there, so it's easy for people to contact them on their preferred channel if it's Twitter. So there are all kinds of ways to really incorporate these into your site, into your different channels.
And I want listeners to know that we're live tweeting because the show's social media manager, Regina Walton, is in the studio. So you can follow the hashtag nonprofit radio. Also, we found the Twitter ID, Melanie, for Highveld Horse Care Unit. It's at HHCU. Regina found that. Regina found that. No problem. Of course, you know, we're covering you. I put you on the spot. Regina found it, and she live tweeted it. But beyond that, we're live tweeting the shows. You can follow the hashtag nonprofit radio. Okay, Melanie, there was a lot there. Where would you recommend putting the content ad button? Does that go right by the title of something, or like where does that go on a blog post or something else that you want people to share?
I'm going to throw this one over to Chad because he's more of the technical implementation. He probably has some better insight on that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, so a lot of times this is in response to the people that have, you know, a lot of times people just put a Twitter icon like on their page, and it's like you can click that and go to twitter.com and follow from there. But the idea of having this follow button instead is a little more powerful. And you can put it kind of anywhere, but it needs to make sense, right? You don't want to put this in sort of your social sharing area where you want people to tweet a blog post or like it on Facebook or share it on Pinterest or something. This would go sort of in some other places, like alongside a Twitter box, like where it's showing your feed, right? And you can put the follow button right there and say, hey, I just want to follow it from here. You can put it in blog sidebars. You can put it at the top or bottom of blog posts. A great place to have is your About Us page, right? A page where you're listing out a lot of other ways to get in contact with you. A donation confirmation page is another great place where you can actually have it like, hey, thanks for making that donation. Here, keep up to date with us. Follow us on Twitter and have them just do it right there. Your press room or even on a custom tab in Facebook. So kind of any other places where you're trying to, you know, get people to, communicate with you more and follow you and give your contact information out.
You mentioned the Twitter feed. How do we put that, Chad, on our blog or on our site?
Right, so it's another widget from Twitter. So you can actually go to twitter.com and their resources section as well, the same place where you get the follow button, and you can actually get a nice live Twitter feed. You've seen these on lots of different sites. It's another tactic in the book. And you can actually bring your live Twitter feed onto your website, right, which is great for two reasons. One, it exposes all the great things you're doing on Twitter and helps get that message out farther, but it also brings in dynamic real-time content to your site to make it more of a lively place. We see a lot of organizations doing this even on their homepage where they pull in like their latest tweet. I think the Humane Society does that. So it's just, again, another way to bring Twitter outside of Twitter itself and put it on your website.
Can you modify that, Chad, so that's not only your Twitter feed, but it's the occurrence of any time that somebody uses your Twitter ID?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can do a search results. You can do a hashtag. You can do just the profile. So it's very customizable both from a content perspective and from a design perspective. You can actually, you know, use the CSS and use some of the attributes to actually make it match the HTML of your website so it doesn't look like it's plastered on there. So yeah, very customizable both from a content and design perspective.
How technically savvy do you have to do to do some of these things?
Almost none at all, right? All the widgets are customizable on Twitter with a really great WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get type interface, where you just kind of can select colors. If you're a non-technical person and you don't have access to the website, your website, you may need someone, Twitter.com spits out a piece of code, and you can take that piece of code and put it on your website.
Okay.
So if you can't do that yourself, you just need to send it to the person that can, and it literally should just take a couple minutes.
So
it's a really great way to bring dynamic content onto a site as well. So you mentioned if you're not a technical person, so a lot of small nonprofits, I think, run into this problem where they just don't have a web person on staff to be able to do updates all the time. So right. What this does is it really pulls a dynamic content. So when people go to your site, it's not going to look like it hasn't been updated in months.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a site from 2003.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, Chad, so you mentioned you're doing this, what you see is what you get. So you're basically designing it, and then the Twitter site, this is all through Twitter.com, will give you the code based on the way you designed it?
Absolutely, yeah. You just you select, you know, the color you want the links to be and how you want the outline to look and what the font should be. And you say, you know, I think it's generate code, or I forget what the button is, but it'll actually just spit out some code that you can copy and paste.
Okay.
And that's it. It's a little nice little embed code. So.
And where do we find the resources page? Is that in the navigation bar in Twitter when we go to our Twitter page?
I should have looked that up. Melanie, did you have that on the top of your hand? I think it's just twitter.com/about/resources possibly. but again, I didn't have that handy. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. I put you on the spot.
That's it, yeah.
So it's okay, twitter.com/about/resources?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We'd like to share the detail here on Tony Martin and Nonprofit.
Oh, I like it.
get people started as well as engaged. Okay. Well, since we're talking about all this stuff that could be on our site, I'm going to turn to you still, Chad. How do we make sure that our site is not getting too crowded now? We're talking about these buttons and the background should have certain detail. How do we make sure we're not getting too overwhelming?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to avoid sort of the NASCAR effect, right, where you've got, you know, just tons of things kind of all slapped at one page. Again, you have to be strategic about it. You don't want to just throw these things all over the place. You want to kind of think about, when you're designing any web page, what you want the primary and secondary action for someone to be on that page, right? And so I think when you're looking at, for instance, a Twitter follow button, that's not going to probably fall into any of those two categories unless it's a page about your social presence or a page about, reaching out to you or connecting with you more. So I think, you really got to look at it from that perspective, right? When you're adding anything to a page, is this contributing to the one thing I want them to do on this page, right? So again, putting Twitter buttons, putting all this extra stuff on there is just going to detract from that. So again, be strategic about it.
Okay, very important. Yes, we want to. This is, all these tactics are part of a bigger strategy, which
absolutely
we've said,
yeah, absolutely.
But it merits saying again. Okay, for you, Melanie, there's a recommendation in the book that you can personalize Twitter and share with visitors who's doing the tweeting. Why is that a good idea?
Well, I think as Twitter and Facebook both get more and more crowded by brands, I think it's even more important to really personalize it and humanize your organization. People give to people in fundraising, right? And people communicate with people over a brand all day long. So if you're doing it right, communicating on social should really feel very personal, very much of a one-on-one conversation. And it often is, if you are doing it right. You are going to be having those one-on-one interactions with at replies with your constituents. So it's nice to be able to present who's behind this mythical organization account,
yes.
You know. Who are the people that are actually behind it? They're not robots. They have names. They probably have their own Twitter handles. And even better, if you can add a photo to really humanize who this person is that you're communicating with, it's really going to increase engagement in the long run.
You use the example of the Humane Society doing this very well.
Mm-hmm.
They have
at one point they had several people tweeting on their account, and that's another really good thing to bring up is, you know, you're going to try to get that consistency in voice, but everyone's going to communicate a little differently. So just straight up acknowledging that, sometimes organizations choose to even put initials on who the author of the tweet is if it's a team tweeting. Right now I think they just have one person who's kind of the face of their Twitter account. But if you go to their handle, it's very clear who it is, and it's a friendly face, someone that you can relate to. And I've met her in person, and she's very much the same as she portrays herself on social. So I think it really adds to the credibility of the brand and the mission.
How do you manage this at Blackboard, Melanie?
So at Blackboard, we have Cheryl Black, who is heading up our social now. So if you go to the site, you'll see her face and her Twitter handle right there, so people know exactly who they're talking with.
So you're not hypocritical. You actually are following your own advice.
Yes, actually, Chad and I built the social program together at Blackbaud, and
okay.
At one point, both of our mugs were up there because we were the voice of Blackbaud, but now we've kind of handed over that torch, so people know that Cheryl's the person that they're communicating with.
I have lots of hypocrites who are guests on Tony Martin and Nonprofit Radio. In fact, I try to recruit them that way. You know, I like people who just have advice for others. So you're an exception to that, an admirable exception, both of you. All right, Chad, where are we going to share this personalization, these photos, names? Where do we do this on our site?
Yeah, again, you can, so the couple ways, I think Melanie talked about having it be part of your Twitter background graphic. You can have it be a part of your, on Twitter, your description of the site, you know, where you talk about, hey, this is who our brand is, and by the way, the tweets are by so-and-so. And again, I think Melanie may have mentioned, some people do it on a Twitter level. If you've got five people actually tweeting, you can do it like, I think it's the little carrot and then some initials, and so people add it that way. You can also put it on your website. Again, when you're talking, a lot of organizations do this in different ways, put out who their public faces are, who's talking. It could be on the Contact Us page. It could be in the press room. Again, just another opportunity to get that face associated with the brand. And I think it also goes both ways. We talk about being engaging to the to your supporters and to your audience, but it's also, I think, engaging the other way, where it makes the person who's doing the tweeting and doing the actual social activity feel a little more empowered within their own company, right? And it helps them develop their own brand, which just makes them do their job better, right? They become more invested. And so I think it kind of works both ways. It's a really powerful tactic to get people just really involved and really engaged in Twitter on both sides.
I'm talking with Melanie Mathis and Chad Norman. They are co-authors of 101 Social Media Tactics for Nonprofits. The book goes much broader than Twitter. We're just focusing on Twitter because on this show we haven't talked about that specifically for quite some time. But the book is much broader tactics in all the social media sites. We can make this even more personal, Chad, with some actual like meetings and getting to know people locally. You have some ideas around that?
Absolutely. So, I mean, Twitter is one of the best ways you can use it is to actually reach out and to attract new people, right? It's a great public-facing tool that people really look to now as an extension of your media arm at an organization. So there's definitely some great ways to interact locally. So we talk about a couple of them in the book. One of the coolest things that a lot of people don't know about is a site called Twitaholic. And there's lots of ways to like look at who's tweeting locally and who's actually, you know, because of hashtags and because of geolocation. But Twitaholic takes it one step further and allows you to like, you can dig in and see who are the top tweeters by city name, right? So you can look up a city like New York City or Charleston, South Carolina, and actually see a list ranked by who tweets the most, who has the most followers. So this enables you to actually go out and say like, hey, I want to find out who are the 50 noisiest people in Charleston, people that I may not want to engage with, but you know, people that if I can get them entrenched into my brand and into my message, they may retweet us because they have a big influence over people. So it's a great way to, when you're starting out, to sort of target a local group of people that may eventually become your advocates and help you spread your message locally. And then another way to just get involved is almost every city now has a hashtag, right? New York City, I'm guessing, is probably NYC. Charleston's is CHS. A lot of time it's a your airport code, or just, you know, whatever your town goes by. LA is definitely LA for Los Angeles. So you can follow these hashtags. You can put them in a search feed. There's many ways you can track it. But again, that helps you monitor the general chatter of a city, right? So you can kind of see you know, who's talking about what, and you can use this hashtag to actually put onto your own tweets to get into that stream of people that may not already be following you. So
we have just about a minute and a half or so left. Melanie and I want to spend some time making sure we talk about measuring your outcomes on Twitter. You have some ways of doing that to see how effective you're being.
Yes, definitely. And part of developing your strategy is really, you know, defining what those measurable objectives are, because everyone asks, how do I know what to measure? Well, if you know what you're trying to achieve, you know what you want to measure. So there are a ton of ways to do this. Facebook has amazing tools built in with Facebook Insights where you can really get down to even very specific demographics, gender, and location. Same thing with YouTube, really. Looking within your own website and really seeing where people are coming from through social referrals is very informative, because some social networks pop up that you may not be on your radar as a top channel for you.
And specific to Twitter, you can monitor your own name on Twitter. You can even calculate your influence. You have a site where you can calculate influence. What's that?
So Clout has been around for some time, and now you're seeing it surface in a lot of different tools. Hootsuite now has Clout scores, which are influence scores built right into profiles. So that's another way to really ID who your influencers are and how influential you are. If it's trending up, it says a lot. If it's trending down, you may want to see, you know, what you're doing differently that's kind of lessening your impact and your message amplification.
And that's at, and Clout is Klout, right? Klout.com?
Yeah.
Okay. Melanie and Chad, we have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being part of the show.
Great. Thanks for having
us. Thanks, Tony.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you both. Right now we take a break. When we come back, Tony's Take Two, and then Amy Sample Ward's FAQs. Stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour.
At 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin.
And Sloan.
Live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm Leslie Goldman with the U.S. Fund for UNICEF.
And I'm Casey Rotter with the U.S. Fund for UNICEF.
You're listening to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%.
Welcome back. More live listener love. Joining us from Asia, New Delhi, India. And joining us from New Zealand, Christchurch. Also Italy, but we don't know your city in Italy. You're masking yourself, or we just can't see you. But welcome, Italy. Buongiorno. Norcross, Georgia. New Bern, North Carolina. Jersey City, New Jersey. Jersey City. I used to visit New Jersey City over on, what street was that? Where my grandmother lived and my father was born. McAdoo Ave. McAdoo Ave in Jersey City. That's probably not the part of Jersey City you are in, but Jersey City, New Bern, North Carolina, and Norcross, Georgia. Live listener love to you. Time for Tony's Take Two. On my blog this week, I feel bad for the IRS Determinations Unit. That's the IRS office that is accused of unfairly scrutinizing and delaying applications for tax-exempt status from mostly, not exclusively, but mostly conservative political organizations like the Tea Party. But I have been seeing that office struggle for years because I've seen applications for tax exemption routinely take close to a year. And I personally know groups that have waited more than a year even. There was an automation project. The form that you fill out to get your tax exemption from the IRS is Form 1023. And there was supposed to be an automation project where you could fill that form out online. Then they delayed the launch of that, and then I stopped hearing about it. So I always thought that was bad news, you know, not a priority among the IRS development staff to automate that. And then in 2011, there were 275,000 charities that lost their tax-exempt status, and tens of thousands of those reapplied. They didn't want to lose their tax-exempt status. They were still active organizations. They reapplied, and to that same unit. So tens of thousands of new applications probably came in within months, I'd say, of when that IRS loss of exempt status list was issued. So, you know, I just think that I've been seeing this determinations unit struggling for years, many years, as I've been around nonprofits. And I think it just came to a head, and people were trying to be more efficient and flag some things and categorize some things. And that turned out not to be such a good idea. But I don't think it was politically motivated. I think it's staff people trying to just be more efficient. There's more about that on my blog at tonymartinetti.com, including some links that I have, and also including links that some commenters have had. I've gotten some very good comments with links to that post called "I Feel Bad for the IRS Determinations Unit." And that's Tony's Take Two for Friday, the 24th of May, 21st show of the year. And I also want to wish you happy Memorial Day. Long weekend coming. Happy Memorial Day, and thinking about our veterans who gave the ultimate sacrifice. That's what Memorial Day is about, so we want to keep that in mind. Amy Sample Ward is with me now, and we know that she's our regular social media contributor. We know that she's the membership director at Nonprofit Technology Network, and we know that her most recent co-authored book is Social Change Anytime, Everywhere. You may not recall that her blog is at amysampleward.org, but you probably do recall that on Twitter she's at Amy R.S. Ward. Welcome back, Amy Sample Ward.
Thank you. I feel like maybe you're experiencing Groundhog Day. And so for you, you're just like, oh, I've said all of this so many times.
You may recall it. You may recall it. All right. But maybe some people don't recall it. We get
maybe the rest of us aren't experiencing Groundhog Day.
All right. Welcome. I don't know why am I welcoming you? Because if I don't allow you to speak, then I'm at a loss for what to do for the next 20 minutes. So I guess we're going to have to go ahead anyway. All right. You've been traveling. I saw you checked in LaGuardia Airport like 7 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, that's when I landed. It was 7 a.m. Yeah.
From where?
From Burlington.
Okay. Early flight from Burlington?
Yes. Been up since 4:30.
All right. So you've been on the Eastern Seaboard this week.
Yes. I have been taking a tour of the thunderstorm region. Mm-hmm. And yes, experiencing a lot of high humidity and sudden downpours.
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Well, welcome home.
Thank you.
You've been talking, I guess, about your book?
Yeah, about the book and you know, some of the events have been Q&As. Some of them I was joined by Allison Capen and we did it together. And others were more like hands-on workshops, really focused on getting organizations kind of from the very beginning stages of maybe having a Facebook page, but they don't know who set it up or why, or maybe not even really engaging much online, and just having an email newsletter and that was it, and helping them figure out how to have some strategy and resources in place so that they could go start engaging.
Allison Capen, of course, your co-author
yes.
on the book. How long do these workshops go? I mean, how long does it take to get people to be more savvy and strategic about what they've already jumped into and are not doing very well?
It does not matter how much time the event is. People will say it was not enough time.
Really?
You know, yeah. So I've done workshops that are just an hour long. I've done workshops that are an entire 8-hour day. And you get to the end of 8 hours and I can barely speak out loud and certainly don't want to hear my voice any longer. And yet people are like, so can you come back tomorrow and we'll keep working on this?
Yeah.
You know, because I think there is that feeling that when someone who's gone down the path before comes back to the beginning of the trail, you know, and is willing to go with you, well, you don't want them to just go the first mile of the hike. You're like, no, take me. Whole Appalachian yeah. Trail is right. pretty long. You know,
I don't want
yes. you to leave me now. Yeah. So but ultimately the point of the workshops, at least those that I've been doing recently, are really to get people not to a place where they leave the workshop feeling like, well, I have my strategy in place. I have a community map finished. You know, I know every piece of content I'm ever going to create. But instead, they know how they can go create that content plan and how to create a community map so they can go do it with their staff. Because ultimately, I don't know what they do. I don't know what their strategic plan is. So they can take it back, work on it with their staff, and put something in place that makes sense for them.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the questions that you've been getting.
Yeah.
We're talking about broad issues, certainly. And
right.
But why don't you start to share.
Sure.
What do you got for us?
I have a long list.
Okay.
After five events, I was...
So your public speaking is not very good because people have millions of questions. So
you're not
anticipating their questions, which is what a good speaker would do.
And as you know, I find it very hard to just talk.
Yeah, I know, you're not outgoing. We talked about that with your dad. Yes,
yes, exactly. Yes. Is Tim Sample on the line tonight?
I don't know. Is Tim, do we have Oregon?
So okay. The first one that I got consistently almost every event was, you know, not so much the... how much time should we invest, but the why does it take so much time? Why? You know, as if they assume they're doing Facebook wrong, and that's why it's taking time. And I think it was really indicative that there is still, no matter how much we hope it goes away, there is still this sense that you can just create some social media profiles and bam, you're going to have a super engaged community that wants to like take that video viral, like whatever it's going to be. And it's not a silver bullet. You know, social media is a place where you're going to have to invest time because it's a slow burn. You know, you're just going to build that community over time, and it will continue growing if you continue investing time and, you know, all the rest. But, you know, people were really disappointed. Like, why is it taking me so much time to use Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah. And over time, meaning years.
Right.
I mean, this is long term. Strategic right. engagement conversations, all the stuff that you
exactly.
and I have talked about.
Exactly. I mean, you know, some of those organizations, for example, that Chad and Melanie were talking about and pointing to as great examples, especially using Twitter. Well, they've been using Twitter, most of them, you know, since 2007, 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's been a while, you know,
yeah.
and it's not because they joined Twitter because they thought it was only going to be here for a year. They joined it saying, okay, we have, you know, our community's out there. I think we can engage. Let's just start engaging and we'll keep building on to what we're doing.
All right. You've got to recognize this is all long term.
Right.
And irrespective of the platform.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, exactly. And, you know, even if for some reason, you know, Twitter shut down tomorrow permanently.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go somewhere else and start building, because the community also does the same thing. Even as people, you know, when we join a new platform or go try out a new tool, it's not like we instantly all have our, you know, 300 high school graduation friends that have somehow found us already. And, you know, even as individuals, it takes time to build up how you use a tool and what you're, who you're following, etc. So why should it be different for an organization?
Okay. Okay. What else?
Another question that we got a couple times was, what if we don't have any fans? What if we don't have any followers? Like, how long do I use Facebook before I stop? You know, how long do I use Twitter before I stop? Because we don't have any fans right now. So why should I post? Why should I log into Facebook today and post something if I only have two fans? And I totally understand that, the emotional side of that question, the like, but no one's listening to me, so why am I going? But again, think about it as if it wasn't social media. If your organization said, okay, we're going to, you know, pilot this new program, we're going to create a new service, and day two of this new service, no one shows up at your clinic. Well, you're not like, sorry, I guess the service is done. We're no longer providing, you know, healthcare checks because no one showed up today. You would laugh and think that that's so silly. You know, if it was an offline thing, you would say, we have to commit to it. We have to just say, you know, every day at 9 o'clock, we open the clinic doors. Well, same on social media, obviously not to the same maybe extent, but you still have to say, okay, every day we're going to post something so that if and when people do come, It's a living place. It's not, you know, a ghost town social profile that's never been used. So, and again, creating that consistent content that is valuable lets you share it with people. Let's, you know, give it, tell other staff, hey, we posted that report. You know, like Melanie said, if you have a great new article or some research, post it up there, even if you don't have a lot of followers and friends, and then encourage the people at the organization, partners you work with, to share it. But to share it from that social platform instead of just from your website, and encourage people to go there. And again, it's not like you're going to have 1,000 fans overnight, but you'll get those people who said, that research, you know, is really interesting. I'm going to like your page or follow you on Twitter in case you have more of that. So again, it's more of the commitment to being consistent and less of the, well, no one's here, so I don't want to play in the playroom by myself.
But is there a point where an organization should say, you know, we're not getting any traction. Maybe our constituents just aren't interested in Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And that isn't going to be decided in a month.
Right.
You know, that
right.
comes over time when you know that you have given it a real effort. But it also goes back to things we've talked about on the show before about not creating social profiles unless you know your community is even using that platform.
That's part of the starting the strategy and
goals. Exactly. Yeah. So we, you know, for example, at one of the events yesterday in Burlington, someone said, you know, I'm hearing people talk about Instagram. Should I use Instagram? My community is, you know, and he described his community. And I said, well, it sounds like, and I don't want to be making, you know, extreme generalizations, but it sounds like your community probably is not one that has a lot of smartphones. You know, it's not a bunch of iPhone users. And he said, no, probably not. Well, if you don't have a camera phone, you're not using Instagram. It isn't that they are not interested in photos as a general medium,
yeah,
but they're not going to have that app. So don't feel obligated to go just create profiles every time you hear of a new application. Follow your community to those platforms so you know it's worth being consistent with content.
We got to take a break, go away for a couple minutes. Amy Sample Ward stays with me, and you should too.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
We got live listener love for Bridgeport, Connecticut, New York, New York. Welcome. Seoul, South Korea. Annyeonghaseyo. And very glad that things have calmed down a bit on the Korean Peninsula. I think it was just like 5 weeks ago or so, 5-6 weeks ago. You know, lots of saber rattling, and I mentioned it as I was doing live listener love. I'm glad things have quelled a bit there. Very, very, very glad of that. Kawasaki and Tokyo, Japan. Konnichiwa. And we have an unknown live listener in Japan. You're masking yourself, or we just can't find you. But konnichiwa, of course, to the unknown Japanese listener. Okay, Amy. We finished off with Instagram. Pretty much, yeah. You know, you don't belong there really if you don't think your constituents have smartphones because it's an app.
Right.
Right. Okay. What else you got for us from your travels?
Well, I have a few more. So one that came up in a couple different cities was the question of, you know, unlike the last question, you know, we don't have anyone. No one's liking us on Facebook. Instead, what if we're getting plenty of likes and they are not the right people?
Oh, now how are we defining the right people?
Well, I asked the same question thinking they were just like,
right,
you know, oh, they're not the, you know, donors and we only want donors
or on Twitter, they don't have a lot of followers
exactly.
On Twitter. People follow us, but they don't themselves have a lot of followers.
No, these were examples of primarily youth facing organizations getting some, not PG-13 appropriate accounts.
I see.
Connecting to them.
Okay.
And I think this is an interesting one to bring up, because for some organization, you know, like if they're just following you on Twitter, for example, you might not go through your followers list, because maybe you're just paying attention if they're adding you or something. You know, if they're replying to you directly, mm-hmm. then maybe it would get flagged to you. But to Chad and Melanie's example of including on your actual website or on your actual blog page the follow or like us on Facebook widget, the little button in it, and if you do that, you can have it show, you know, that other people have liked the page, but mm-hmm. it's showing up on your website, and they have that because they wanted people to see that social, like, hey, lots of people like us, you know, as soon as you went to the website. But unfortunately, that meant you would go to this website focused on youth services and see a string of inappropriate Facebook photos along the top of the website. Their community manager, or their the staff people that were managing those accounts, felt like they had to at all times have the homepage and Facebook open so that they could refresh things frequently throughout the day. And if they saw a new person pop up, they could go into Facebook and block them from the page, or go into Twitter and block them from the Twitter account
if they were inappropriate.
Exactly. Yeah. And that, okay. And so that's the whole other side of, well, first you're trying to just get any, you know, that idea of, I just need to get people
numbers
to the page. And now you're thinking, oh my gosh, all these horrible people are on my page. So, you know, how do you deal with that? And then again, I think it really does, not exclusively, you're still going to have to do that physical management of deleting people or blocking people. But it comes back to content. If you're making it very clear that you're there providing services and not necessarily, you know, connecting people with youth, then again, you're setting the tone that this space is here to talk about these services.
But they were probably pretty clear about that. I mean, odds are the person who was asking the question, or the people, because these are multiple,
right.
We got this a few times, the people who are asking these questions, probably their sites are very pure and youth oriented, but they're still getting inappropriate followers and friends.
Well, I think the difference is that it's connecting Facebook and your website. Your website may be very clear what you do, but often organizations want to have more of the like fun social content on their Facebook page. So that may mean their Facebook
parties,
page is photos,
concerts,
events, etc. So on that Facebook page, it may not have the same kind of institutional feel that the website does.
I see. Okay.
So do what you can.
Managing your
moderate.
Content.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then one more to highlight for today. The first time I've gotten this question at these kinds of events, you know, normally I get this question from people like you, Tony, but instead I was getting it from, you know, normal citizens, and they were saying, you know, well, isn't Facebook dead? Isn't Twitter just for like young people now? I write an article that, you know, all these kids left Facebook and now they're using Twitter, so all the adults should leave Twitter. Very interesting perspective.
Yeah, who wrote that article?
Have
I asked questions like that?
Well, I think you've probably asked it in a more, you know, theoretical, what's the future of...
Oh, okay. Well, that's much more insightful. And
but the okay. undertone of, is it a valuable place? Is it worth investing in?
Yes.
You know? And I think for those people, they were coming at that question from, well, if this person says it isn't going to be around for a long time, then maybe I don't even have to waste my time today.
Mm.
And I understand that feeling. I have the love-hate relationship like all the rest of us do with some of these tools.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, until we see that Facebook really is dead, or we see that Twitter is apparently only for young people, like some article that person read, they are still having huge engagement. There are so many daily active users, monthly active users. Even in our own, the report that we do with M&R Strategic Services, the e-nonprofit benchmarks report showed that in 2012, the nonprofits that we study and have access to their data for this report had over 200% growth in their Twitter fan base or follower base. So that may happen. Facebook could maybe be gone tomorrow, but today it is here. And today there are millions of people using that platform. So you could say you don't want to invest because maybe it could go away, but you're trying to get people's email address and they unsubscribe. It's the same feeling. If it is the channel that they're choosing and that they're there, it's worth engaging in. And again, you should have a strategy that isn't based on Facebook. You should have a strategy based on engagement so that you can be nimble. If Facebook goes away, you pivot, go to the tool where the community is.
Amy Sample Ward, thank you for sharing your FAQs for this week's trips.
Of course.
My pleasure. Next week, it's going to be an archive edition, but I don't know which one. So if you have a show in mind that you can't find, sometimes I get emails. There's a woman on, I can't remember her name. She talked about this, but I searched your site and I can't find it. If it's something like that, if you have a show in mind you can't find, let me know on Twitter or LinkedIn or Facebook. And if I replay your suggestion next week using that show, then I will send you a social media roadmap, which Amy gave me several of, and I have one left. So if I use your show, I'll send you my last social media roadmap. Insert sponsor message. Over 9,000 leaders, fundraisers, and board members of small and mid-sized charities are listening to the show each week. If you'd like to talk about sponsorship, contact me through the blog. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Liebowitz is our line producer, and Janice Taylor is our assistant producer. The show's social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media in the studio, this week. And the remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules. We're going to be on the road very soon, not too far, Marriott Marquis in Times Square for NYC Fundraising Day. And then in October, we'll be at BBCon. So that'll be some road tripping for the remote producer. I hope you will be with me next Friday, 1 to 2 Eastern, for the archive show at Talking Alternative Broadcasting at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We're certified mediators. And I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on. What does it mean and what can be done about it? So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your neo-sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
TalkingAlternative.com.